So I grew up in this area. I lived up Highland Boulevard. I had a really nice two-parent family home. I got to play outside. It was wonderful. And I had great schooling and great friends. And when I was in university, I met someone and I got married. And within a month of being married, the abuse started. And it took me 2 years to get out of that relationship. It was very difficult. So when I came out, I was a bit of a shell of the person that I am today. But I got a job teaching at Keith Lynn Alternative Secondary School. And for those of you who don't know who that what that is, it was an alternative school for kids that were no longer welcome in any of the public high schools. They were, some of them were on the streets, some of them were drug addicts, they were in foster care, some had been incarcerated. They really, many of them had very tough lives. And so my experience of the abuse was actually quite helpful to me when I went to work at Keith Lynn, because it gave me an empathy for these kids that other people didn't have, because they didn't understand where they were coming from. And I think, I like to think that it made me a pretty good teacher. I really understood them. I had kids that came to live in my home with me because their home was no longer safe. When I left Keith Lynn, I went on to other schools. I always tried to find that child that was wounded, because in my journey in faith, I had had the experience of God's love getting out of that marriage. And so I felt that it was my responsibility as a child of God to pass that on to others. So I went along and had this wonderful teaching career, working with some fabulous nonconformist kids, some real tough little nuggets that I had worked with. And then, lo and behold, a year ago, we learned about the Long, Long Night of Hope. And I thought, this is a perfect place for me to be, because I really understand how easy it is for people to wind up on the streets, how easy it is for them to lose all hope because they have nothing and they have no self-worth, so they don't try to change their circumstances because they feel they're resigned to that. So for me, going into the Long, Long Night of Hope at the end of this month and sleeping in my car, as luxurious as it is compared to most people who are on the streets, really brings together the whole culmination of my life, of my journey of faith, and all the experiences that I've had.
So this is my affirmation of faith relative to the Long, Long Night of Hope and homelessness. So for years and years, way more years than I'm willing to admit, I worked for a company whose location was right in the center of the downtown East Side, one block from Oppenheimer Park. And I saw people who had nowhere to go and nothing to do and no sense of hope. And they came into our office and, you know, I mean, they were our neighbors and they had some pride in their community. But, you know, for whatever reason, they were down there. And over the years, I came to realize that it could be me. There were people just with the same background as I had, or it could be you. And, and people say like, oh, that must have been terrible to have to work down there. And actually it was a blessing for me. It filled me with gratitude, of course, for what I had in my life, but it gave me a reality check that didn't allow me to hide from the horror of the homelessness in Vancouver. So when St. John's decided to do this Long, Long Night of Hope, where we sleep in our car to raise money for homelessness, I thought, so I committed to that. But then I started struggling with, you know, really, who am I to, you know, be a privileged person with a home and heat and light and food and clothing and friends and so many blessings, to sleep in my car for one night and think I know anything about homelessness. It seemed a bit cheeky, actually. And I kind of struggled with that. And I was doing my little social media thing for the Long Long Night of Hope and one night, and I was thinking about this. The next morning, I got up and went to work. I was going to work, and in my underground parking, I live in a great apartment that has secure underground parking, but there's one part of it that the commercial people park in from the commercial stores around our building, and it's open. So there's a man sleeping in that part of the parking, and I thought, wow, I think that this might be a message. So I thought, yeah, this is something I can do. And honestly, that moment changed my life and how I look at outreach and mission and helping others. That, you know, it's not about how much of a difference you can make, or even if you can make a difference. It's just about doing what you can do. And if you have everything you need, if because I have everything I need, it's my responsibility to do what I can do. So one night in my car, if I can raise some money to give to Lookout Shelter and they can do something about homelessness, I'm all over it. So that'll be the 23rd, February 23rd, Heather and I, and we'd love to have other people join us. The first year St. John's did this, they raised, I think, $6,000. And this past year, we raised almost $20,000, and there's like 13 people. So, you know, one little person can, together, we can do a whole lot. So hopefully, if I can get my techie brain to work, I'll have all the social media stuff up today. But you certainly can just donate by putting on your offertory envelope or an envelope, homelessness, Brenda and Heather, or whatever. It doesn't matter, as long as it goes to that cause. So I hope you will talk to us, and we can count on your support.
Thank you both to Brenda and to Heather. And let's take a moment of quiet as we've heard lives of faith and we've heard a reflection on this gospel. May it be a mirror to us too.